Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamara. Here's Jen Latta.
We have talked about this concept before, about various sports stories, but y'all are familiar with a Rorschach test, right? Rorschach test?
No.
Okay. It's that ambiguous ink blot, Chew, that they show in, like, psychological testing.
Yeah.
And depending on what you see in the ambiguous ink blot, is supposed to reveal personality traits or emotional function.
Yeah, and whether or not you're a serial killer, things like that.
Yeah. What do you see? I see a goose strangling a platypus. Okay.
All right. Well, just lock this one up.
Exactly. Matt LaFleur having bleep.
Now, why would you want to visualize that, Chew? Good grief.
Yeah, she was talking about the players.
All right. So this Giannis Antetokounmpo conversation with The Athletic, to me, is a Rorschach test. If you didn't get a chance to read it, we'll give you some of the details of the conversation. But as always, there is a lot of interest in what Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to do going forward. And I think that, I'm just going to try to pull up the article very quickly here. I think that when I was reading it, I was like, okay, Giannis is saying that he doesn't want to go anywhere, that he wants to stay. He's committed to Milwaukee. But then in the next answer, he would say something like, but it's kind of like your wife, you know, today she's a good wife, but things might fall apart tomorrow. Wait, what? And then later in the conversation, he said, I'm committed to this team. I want to be here. I've said this over and over again. But then he makes a reference to his eggs. And he says something along the lines of, you know, sometimes you like scrambled eggs and sometimes you like sunny side up eggs. And if I like scrambled eggs today, am I not allowed to change my mind and enjoy sunny side up eggs tomorrow? And I was like, what? And so that's why I said I got to grab the Excedrin. Because to me, Gabe, reading this article, it was, he still doesn't know. I think he wants to be committed to Milwaukee. He wants to make it work here. But he recognizes that, one, and he said it multiple times in the article, he's an employee. And they may want to move on from him. Although the Bucks have sort of said, no, not really interested in that. The other thing he keeps deferring to is that he can't control the conversations that his people have. His agents, for instance.
Well, you can. They're an, speaking of being an employee.
Yeah.
Bing, 100%. You're right. The agents work for the player. So if the player doesn't want the agent to be having those conversations, all the player has to do is say, stop having those conversations. So that's how I interpret it, which was, I'm getting dizzy here trying to follow the stream of consciousness, trying to follow the thought process. And I don't think Giannis said what people think he said in this article, which is, I'm here, I'm locked in, I'm not going anywhere.
Well, he can do all those things that he wants, Jen, but he said the words that everybody wanted him to say. And then he tried to give himself outs. That doesn't matter to me. He said, my plan is to be here for the rest of my career. That's in here. That's in black and white. My plan is to be here for the rest of my career. That's what people have wanted to hear him say. And now if he wants to give himself outs down the road, I don't know if he just wants to give himself these outs because he's worried that the fan base would turn on him if he left. Well, this is actually how you get the fan base to turn on you if you leave, if you ask out. Because I'm pretty confident that the Bucks aren't going to trade you. I'm pretty confident that next October, the Bucks are going to offer you giant contracts. And if you don't sign it, if you'd like to become a free agent, if you ask out for a trade, my plan is to be here for the rest of my career is going to be used against you. Again, you tried to talk yourself into circles with all the things about eggs and wives and all these other things. But you said the thing that everybody wanted you to say. And now, if you were trying to avoid that fan base turning on you if you do leave, unfortunately, you said the thing that everybody wanted you to say. And now everybody believes, or a portion of the fan base believes, that you are going to be here for the rest of your career because you said it. And that's the only thing that matters to a lot of these people. So he can try to give himself outs all he wants. He didn't do himself any favors if ultimately he does want to leave because he said the thing.
Well, he wants his cake and eats it too, right?
Yeah, he doesn't want to answer these questions anymore.
He just wants everyone to love him, and that's just, It's not possible. I mean, it's... I remember Andy Reid telling me, he's like, not everyone's going to like you. So be fine with it. And they always say, you know what, the there's the best day of becoming a head coach is the day you step to the podium and accept the job. Everything else outside of the Super Bowl is downhill from there. You believe that?
Yeah, I believe that because, yeah, there's, again, the Super Bowl, I'm guessing, would be if you're Andy, I'm guessing the Super Bowl or the ones that he won were a higher pinnacle than accepting the job in Kansas City, but especially if you're going through a year like this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there are people in Kansas City calling for Andy Reid's job. I'm sure.
I guarantee, yes, there's a percentage.
I mean, and those people are crazy, but yeah, I mean, that's chatter that you have to listen to, even though you're a future Hall of Fame coach.
So let me just go through and read a few of the things that we have referenced. Obviously, you said eggs and wives, and those are going to be the caveats that I think people point to. He said, today our relationship is great. And he's talking about his relationship with the Milwaukee Bucks. Tomorrow, it might be different. It's the same thing with my wife. Until today, my wife is great. She's a great mother. She's a great partner. She supports me until today. Tomorrow, she might wake up and be like, I don't want this. I fell out of love. Until today, me and John Horst have a good relationship. Tomorrow might be something else out there, and he might have to do whatever he has to do. And then he says, for me right now, today, I am committed. Not 100%, but 1,000,000% to my teammates, to my craft, to this team, and to this city. 1,000,000%. I don't look right. I don't look left. I look only to the next game, which is the Lakers, and I want to win that game. I want to stack wins before the All-Star game and get ourselves back in the race. I think those caveats there, and to your point, maybe they are a trapdoor, a backdoor, a way he can get out of this thing. But I think those caveats there, when I read it, to me was, this is not what you think it is. This is not that statement of commitment, that putting a rest to all the nonsense, that shutting down the national narrative. This is a guy who doesn't know, who today is confident in where he wants to be, but tomorrow, we'll see. Now, did you read it, Gabe, as he was saying that if tomorrow the relationship deteriorated, it would be because of something the Bucks chose as opposed to him?
No, I mean, he's saying he could change, right?
That was the eggs part, right?
That was the eggs part, and again, the wife's part, too, right? Like, oh, she might change her mind tomorrow. I think that opens the door for Giannis changing his mind tomorrow as well. But again, the things that got aggregated out of this by a good portion of the Bucks fan base, yeah, there is some strong stuff in there if you isolate it. And that's the stuff that a lot of people are going to see. And by saying those things, again,
what did he say exactly about being a Buck?
My plan is to be here for the rest of my career. Is the direct quote?
Yeah.
The very next sentence is, my plan is to be here for the rest of my career. If they don't want me, that's just not how any of that's going to work. The Bucks are going to want you forever. Because you're the cash cow. You're the thing that gives them any sort of opportunity, chance, or hope at winning a second championship. Like, even if this group can't get it done, like, okay, we're going to try to find a different group building around Giannis because he's a generational type of talent and player.
Pete weighing in on the YouTube stream saying, Giannis is authentic. People may not like his choice of words, but he is salt of the earth. He doesn't spew bleep like Rodgers did. He's not crafting this ahead of time. I don't have an issue with what Giannis said. If that's how he wants to answer these questions, that is well within his right and his prerogative. The issue I have is if, to Gabe's point, you're sitting here and you're cherry-picking certain portions of the interview to validate a position that you have. That's where I'm saying, no, guys. Like, you can't be living in an echo chamber just because you want Giannis to be a Buck forever. You can't just isolate on that sentence that Gabe has mentioned and not also read about wives and eggs. The eggs thing is this. I'm going to read it to people who haven't read the article. So the reporter says, but as you said, things change every day. Just making sure. It could have happened at breakfast today. And Giannis says, right. So just because I like my eggs scrambled today, I don't have the opportunity to eat sunny side up eggs tomorrow. We're human, right? It's the same thing in basketball. But again, in my nature, I will never. That's not who I am. And that's referring to asking for a trade.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my only frustration with this is, yesterday, after this article came out, after this conversation came out, I saw a lot of people using it to defend the position that, see, all of those conversations about Giannis not wanting to be a Milwaukee Buck for the long haul were wrong. And all I keep saying is, did you read the whole article? Or did you just see a few quotes that were shared online?
Well, and the problem with some of the reporting that was done earlier, like there are nuggets of things that aren't true in that reporting, right? So that just leaves the whole thing ambiguous, right? So, this little part was untrue, so this part of the whole thing's not true. I think there's a lot of gray when we're dealing with Giannis and the story.
He wants everyone to love him no matter what he does, and Giannis ain't going to be the case. I'm sorry. It might be a small percentage, but I'm sorry. You can't say, I want to be here forever, but if tomorrow I like Sunnyside up whatever.
By the way, come on, Mike. I mean, the wives thing is stronger than the eggs thing. I mean, people like varieties of eggs. Like, you're allowed
those
to like
even
varieties
the best
of
eggs, though. The best eggs are poached in vinegar. So good. Put
what?
That on the pole.
I'm
that's
sorry.
A walk
you're,
in the park.
You're doing what?
Vinegar?
Yeah.
Eggs in vinegar?
Two poached eggs in vinegar over corned beef hash. Oh, make your sticker peck out. Ooh-wee.
I don't feel
hey,
so
she
bad.
Said sex. She said sex.
Yeah, but it was a
so you're telling me I can't say that?
I mean, the fact that you... I think say it wrong on purpose makes it clear. You're not actually saying anything.
So why are the targeting rules...
That's
why, Josh, why are the targeting rules different for Jen as opposed to me? I don't get it.
He's saying it's not an issue because you said sticker peck out. Which we will move on from. The last thing I'll say about this is, and Gabe, you touched on it earlier, this idea that Giannis can't control what his agent is going to say, what his best friend is going to say, what his chef is going to say, those are the ones that he referenced specifically. You're Giannis Antetokounmpo. You can absolutely control what your agent says, what your friend is saying, what your chef is saying. Two of those people work for you.
Yeah, I was about to say, the friend one's a little more difficult because chances are the friend doesn't work for you. But you can have a conversation and be like, hey, maybe don't say that next time. With the agent and chef. Damn well right you can control what they say. You're the one paying the bills, man. You're telling me you can't control whether or not your agent talks to the Bucks and is like, hey, maybe it's time to move on from Giannis.
Or talks to other teams, talks to other GMs.
Feels like that's exactly what you can do in this situation. Again, if you're going to use the, I'm not the one in charge, I'm an employee quote that is in here when referencing if the Bucks want you or not. Well, I'm just the employee. Well, it seems like, well, you're the boss and... In here, you also make note of how you're the boss and have an enterprise and have a lot of arms of things that you have going on in Milwaukee and you're connected to the community and that's why you love Milwaukee. You are the boss of your agent and you can't control what he says and who he is talking to.
Reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and text line. Justin says, he's a guy who's living in the realities of life. It just doesn't work well for our sports world of wanting perfect answers. Everything he said is exactly how we all treat life. You can plan, but plans change. That's literally life. And Ron in the Key weighs in saying, it's all still statements that mean nothing. It can all be retrofitted to be true. I never asked for a trade. Oh, but my agent did. Or I said I wanted to be on a contender. They couldn't make it happen. So my plan was to retire in Milwaukee always. But the Bucks made that impossible. Yeah, there's so many variables at play here. Joshy, what's your reaction to the Giannis conversation with The Athletic that dropped yesterday?
I have Aaron Rodgers PTSD. Now, there's not as much there and there's not as much history. But it feels like, as Ron just said there, it leaves a lot of wiggle room with the way everything's said. And I don't know if anyone's asking for him to commit his entire career to Milwaukee at this point. They're looking for, what are you doing this year? What are you doing with your next contract? And the whole, like, I'm here forever, but maybe not in case I want to change my mind. Like, I understand that. You may not want to be here forever, and I don't hold that against you. It seems like... It's wanting to have your cake and eat it too. It's wanting to be the good guy and not be the bad guy. It's wanting to have all the positive things without the negative. And if he really believes he's never going to be able to ask for a trade, then so be it.
I think we're heading towards one of two things. I think that this is how this ultimately plays out. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out because we know from Giannis and his background, like how much that max contract means, right? Like how much that generational wealth, and not even just for him, but like his family in general, like making sure everyone in his family is taken care of. So either he signs that max contract and he's just going to be here in October, or because it's not in his nature to ask for a trade, and he knows that the only way out of Milwaukee is to ask for a trade, he just sits there and does nothing, doesn't sign that extension, and then that forces the Bucks' hand. Okay, do you want to trade him next year at the trade deadline before his contract expires? Or do you want to potentially get nothing for him as he leaves in free agency?
It seems like it's working its way there, doesn't it?
It's one of those two things.
Right.
And if he does it, we get to October, and he doesn't sign that extension, I'll give it a two-week buffer, because he hasn't signed the extension in the Supermax the exact day he can in the past, so I'll give him a two-week buffer there. But if we get to the month of November this year, and he hasn't signed that, now he's forcing his way out without having to say, oh, I want out of here.
How
much would he lose, Gabe? How much would he lose not doing the Supermax? If he went to another team, how much would...
If he just left in free agency, like guaranteed money, I mean, it's probably at this point somewhere between 90 and 100.
What's more important to him?
Well, again, that's why money I think it's fascinating. That's why I think it's fascinating. Because the money represents the family he can take care of, which we know is really important to him. But also he wants to win championships.
I mean, how many generations now has he secured the future for?
Great question, Josh. A lot.
But he wants to secure more. Like, but his mentality when it comes to money is crazy.
I understand that. It's just like at some when you reach those certain level of wealth, it begets wealth.
I agree in principle, but man, scarcity mindset is strong, right? And this is a guy who has the top tier level of scarcity mindset.
Yes.
So no matter how much he makes, he always will revert back to that kid who was selling watches and selling CDs on the streets of Greece. 800-990-3776. Your reaction, whether you read the article, whether you didn't read the article, whether you saw some of the stuff aggregated on social media, your reaction to what Giannis has said about his future in Milwaukee. Happy to listen all morning long. But we got to get back to Packers-Bears, and we have Craig Karmazin coming up shortly. Stick around.
Let me tell you about our good friends at Bunzel's, 90th and Burleigh in Milwaukee. It's the only place I go. I love taking advantage of the meat deal. Just $20, 26 cents. A lot of great things. It changes on a monthly basis. But maybe you want to stop by this week and take advantage of some of the other deals, like stuffed pork tenderloins at $7.99 a pound. The state champion honey mustard cheddar bratwurst, $6.89 a pound. They are fantastic. Anytime I have people come in from out of town and I'm going to be grilling, I have to get some because everybody loves them. You can get whole or cut chickens at $2.89 a pound. And Bunzel's ready-to-cook fajita mix, peppers, onion, cilantro, lime, and seasonings. It's $8.99 a pound for chicken, $11.99 a pound for beef. I love grabbing that. It's a great dinner. You just throw it in the pan, you heat it up, you get everything ready, and boom, you've got fajitas for the night. Big fan. Recommend you stop in. Bunzel's, 90th and Burleigh. You're not going to regret it. Find all the weekly specials and that monthly meat deal, Bunzel's.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What operating system does a Chewy computer run on?
I believe it's a Cat 14.
It's a COS. It's a Chewy operating system.
I was thinking Windows 98.
Yeah, very similar.
It's dial-up. Let me get my modem.
Chewy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Something exciting is happening at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. On the second floor, you'll find the studio, kitchen, and cocktails. It's Milwaukee's destination for bold flavors, fresh sushi, seasonal entrees, and cocktails crafted with care. That's right, the studio, kitchen, and cocktails. I know you're looking for new spots, places maybe you haven't been, to enjoy a night out. Put the studio, kitchen, and cocktails on your list, guys. Flavors and drinks for every mood, the perfect place to gather, celebrate, and connect. Be boldly social at the studio, kitchen, and cocktails, now on the second floor of St. Kate the Arts Hotel. We talked a little bit yesterday about Josh Jacobs' comments about protecting Jordan Love, right? A lot of people took that hit on Love personally. Well, it appears, guys, that the Bears players have reacted to Josh Jacobs' reaction to the hit on Jordan Love the last time the Bears and Packers played. And, of course, that knocked Jordan Love out. He missed the next few games, but he's back on the field for the game this Saturday. Gabe, what did the Bears players say yesterday in response to Josh Jacobs saying a lot of people took the hit on Love personally?
From Austin Booker, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they should have done something last game. Wasn't an issue for the Packers in the moment. Yeah, I mean, they would have done something. So, I mean, even if they tried to do something, obviously it didn't work out. So we'll see. Jaquan Brisker also said, yeah, obviously they're going to take it to heart. You know, their quarterback got hurt. They probably thought we did it intentional, or maybe their coaches. Oh, they hit him. They're trying to take him out of the game or whatever. Honestly, that's bulletin board material right there. I mean, obviously, if he, Jacobs, was so mad, he would have did something during the game after he, Love, got hurt. And then he got a chance to prove it on Saturday.
Chewy, your reaction?
He's right. He's right. He didn't address it then. You know, little Monday morning quarterback. I don't think, to me, that's as big a deal as what Halfley did. I'd be more ticked off at Halfley. Yeah.
Basically guaranteeing a win, saying he'll be back next week.
Yep. You guys?
I guess I need to know, we've talked about this for years, about how guys sort of manufacture drama, manufacture motivation.
Mm-hmm.
To me, these all feel very minimal. They feel very light. But add a little gasoline and these guys can make them and interpret them as major slights, right? I'm assuming you're telling us that's kind of the nature of the beast. That's what guys do.
They do. It's just how far do they go with it? I mean, there was the scrum before the Denver game.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see if there's chippiness before this game. Because with Denver, I really didn't. Well, I guess there is a rivalry because of Super Bowl 32. But, I mean, this is Packers-Bears.
I don't know how many people on either team are familiar with Super Bowl 32. I'm sorry, pal.
Fair enough. But I'll be interested to see if this does carry over. Because once the game started, see, everything's usually out the window.
The one thing both teams have to be careful, though, this is a flag-happy crew. The crew that they have assigned for this game is a flag-happy crew. Yeah. So I think if anything does get chippy, like I think you're going to be walking a pretty tightrope of you don't want to hurt your team with a 15-yard penalty because those seem to hurt more and sting more when you hit in the postseason when everything is just magnified and that much more important.
Excellent point by you, and that's why teams are always finding out players, you know, always want to know who the officiating crews are because they certainly have tendencies as well. You know, do they let them play? Do they call it close? You know, that's something that guys, the information that they want to have. The only flaw I have with what the Bears said, guys, is though they didn't do something at the moment. Oh, why didn't they do something in the moment? Like, in the moment, you don't know with a hit like that and concussion protocol and a head injury. You don't know the lasting effects. And I'm not talking 30 years down the road here. I'm talking about in the moment, you didn't know that that interaction was going to keep Jordan Love out of the next few games. It sort of grew in significance as the weeks went on. So to sit here and be like, well, you didn't do anything at the moment, it's like, right, but at the moment, we didn't know that it was going to keep our quarterback out for the next few weeks, that we wouldn't get him back until this game.
But this specifically also feels like it's just going to lead to nothing. I feel like Josh's comments, again, he said they're not going to play dirty or anything, but if the Bears do something like that again, if they go high on Jordan Love or go low, if there's a personal foul penalty against their guy, to me, that's, Josh is also talking about, hey, we're going to make sure we have his back.
Yeah,
because Jason talked about how it stood out to him being in the stadium that like nobody did anything. We brought up earlier this week, Sitton and Lang, how they would have been in somebody's grill. Frankie, if that happened to Brett Chu, Frankie would have been in somebody's grill had that happened to Brett. And I look at Josh Jacobs as more of an internal thing of, hey, we're going to make sure if you do that again, we're going to make sure we've got our guys back last time. We made a mistake, and we're going to atone for that mistake this time.
I just don't know if Josh Jacobs is wired that way. Right? When you look at Josh Jacobs and sort of the way he carries himself, Josh Jacobs, he doesn't seem a hothead in any situation. So, and I'm not saying you have to be a hothead in order to defend one of your teammates when they get a hit on the field, but there obviously is an understanding that hits are going to occur. You can't be reacting violently or, you know, flying off the handle every time a guy gets hit if you're not sure of the intent. And it sounds like the Bears players are saying that they weren't doing it intentionally. They weren't trying to knock him out of the game, which, of course, is what you would say if a microphone were put in front of you.
Can you imagine if you admitted, I was trying to take him out, launch myself into his head?
The point that you make is great, which is, okay, you can have all of these swirling narratives headed into the game, but if you start letting it affect your play and you start playing outside of yourself or you start trying to play with that proverbial chip on your shoulder and it starts to affect you negatively, then you've lost, right? Then the chess match, the mental chess match that's been going on with these comments, you've lost it.
Well, intimidation is part of the game, and right now they just seem to be volleying back and forth. Because your older guys, especially with a young team, I mean, we would go to Minnesota, and we all know the stories of John Randall trying to get into Marcos, who are rookies or first-year guys, rookies or first-year guys. Because, like I said, intimidation is part of the game. It's the responsibility of the, and I used to fight with Randall all the time, tell him to shut up. But some of his stuff was actually kind of funny, because he would read other guys' bios and then talk about their sister and stuff like that. And that, you know, I mean, that part of it was funny. But when they just flat out try to intimidate, that's when the older guys got to step in. So right now they're just volleying, I think, for intimidation. Like, we're not going to take it. Okay, we're not going to take it. Well, we're not going to, you know. So it's part of the game.
800-990-3776. Let us know your reaction to what the Bears said in reaction to Josh Jacobs' comments about the hit on Jordan Love the last time the Bears played them and them taking it personally. Josh, he asks a good question. Do we need this stuff? Like, we all talk about how great it is that the rivalry is back and these two teams are both significant / relevant. Do you need this sort of, like, extra chatter to, like, sprinkle on top? Does it make it even more intriguing as you're headed into a big game?
If it was good chatter.
This isn't good chatter?
No. I don't think so.
Yeah,
this hasn't added any juice to the game for me, has it? Like, what about what Josh Jacobs said yesterday or the Bears' response, what, if anything, has given you extra juice for tomorrow's game?
Nothing.
No, but I will be paying more attention to those interactions, right?
Sure.
Whether it's after the whistle, whether it's between plays, you know, I will be watching to see, because you can tell as a viewer when things are ratcheting
up. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you have that feel for the
you
game. Absolutely.
You can see when things, and you're going,
they're
this is a powder keg. You know, it's about to pop. Let's see how it all shakes out. And to your point, you cannot let it affect you negatively to the point of a penalty, to the point of an ejection or anything like that, because that just hurts the squad.
But the problem with a crew like this, Jen, because we had the same Jerry Mark Bright back in the day when we had him. We're like, jeez, I'm crow. Now I got to bring my right hand in when it comes to blocking. Or they're gonna, you know, I just hope the refs realize that we're not there to watch them. So let them play. So if there is a little chippiness, address it before the game. Tell them, but don't get flag happy because it takes away from the game.
All right, listen, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We got Craig Karmazin coming up on the show right after this. Stick around, Bears Packers week. Is there anything better?
Boost culture with captivating corporate events like appreciation parties, brand activations, and more with our friends at Events by Design. The creative team at Events by Design, they truly enjoy the work they do, believing every event should not just be successful, but fun, one that people still talk about years later. There's a chance that you've been to an Events by Design event, or at least an event that they have helped prop up, and you don't even know it. Maybe you've gone to the night market here in downtown Milwaukee. Maybe you went to the holiday market they had outside of Fiserv Forum back in November. Those are all things that Events by Design help do. And if you're looking at a big anniversary party for your company, or if you're just looking to have something fun to build that culture, Events by Design is who you should be reaching out to. Just search online, Events by Design. They design, you party.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Has any market been as consistent where they only have one team than Wisconsin? We know Chicago hasn't been.
No.
Fridays with Mo.
Yeah, but until you win a championship, you can't really say that. And they've had one championship.
Chewy, we're going to just create an AI. The AI, Chewy,
hold
can just
on.
Bring up championship. We don't even need Chewy.
They've had one championship.
What, is going to be put like a hologram over
and
there?
What? Yeah.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Saturn Lounge, your partner for marketing strategy, creative content, and winning campaigns. From websites to video and everything marketing, visit SaturnLounge.com to tell the world your story.
This feels like an episode of Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
He's just scared.
Did you guys play that when you were kids? Or maybe it was, we had a game. There was a game in the on the computers, you know, big floppy disk.
Yeah.
Obviously, there was a show as well. But
with a banging open. The song, the Carmen Sandiego song is
in
so good.
Incredible. I wish I could remember it. With, like, it's hard with the Meghan Trainor. Or no, not Meghan Trainor. What's the song that's playing right now? Rebecca Black. Friday.
Okay, yeah.
It's hard for me to find the tune of the Carmen Sandiego song. Where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
Right. Well, she's something around the world, from New York to Carolina. And that's all I remember.
Okay.
Sorry. I thought maybe I was going to be able to riff it there. Where in the world is Craig?
Big time.
Yeah, hey, he's scared.
This is his M.O.
Scared what?
He's scared.
I don't, I'm not here on Friday. So, yeah. Like, you guys got to fill me in. Like, this is standard operating procedure?
Yeah. Well, sometimes he's here. Sometimes he's not. Sometimes he's on a plane. But I think he's just kind of ducking because he always makes it clear that he is fans of the teams that Good Karma Brands does business with. The ESPN 1000 is the home of the Chicago Bears. I think he's ducking us.
Good call.
Yeah. Well, all right. I guess we pivot then, huh? What do you guys usually do in this situation when he doesn't show up?
Yeah, I mean,
go home.
You are home. That's an excellent point. So you move from that room of your house to the other room of your house.
What are we talking about? Go home.
Chewy, are you going to do anything fun for the game tonight?
Yeah, I got a rager going.
Seriously? You got some people coming over? Are you guys going to a bar? What do you got?
Packers and barbecue here.
Ooh, what are you gonna throw on the grill?
Wait, you're talking about tomorrow night or tonight?
Tomorrow night.
Okay, I was talking about tonight, but that works.
Wait, what do you mean you're not cooking?
Oh, tonight?
Yeah.
Tonight, once a month we do bourbon hour, so I have hosting 5 o'clock bourbon with the boys.
Wait, how are we just hearing about this now? Were you guys aware that Chewy does bourbon hour?
I've never told you that.
No.
I gotta be honest, if you told me that you were deviating from your white wine, I would have remembered.
Yeah, once a month, I probably do probably 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5
what? Just
because
of the bourbons? Hosts. Everyone loves coming here, you know?
Okay. Oh, thank you. You host 4 out of 5 events.
I host 4 out of 5 times, which is great. I think because the guys, my guys are great down here. Typically, you know, every fifth time someone will bring a new bourbon. So I think we're up to 28 different bourbons here.
Yeesh.
And it's just, we hold court. No women are invited for 1 hour. It's 5 to 6, and then the women can come over after that, and then we pretty much solve all the world problems.
Then why the hell do we have so many problems still? What's going on? You guys got to pick it up. I bet I know what it is. I bet you're not having any of the bourbon. I bet you're skipping out on the bourbon and having your wine instead.
So, I've got a Buffalo fan. I got a New England fan. I've got a Packer fan. I got another, myself, obviously a Packer fan. I got, do I have a Chicago fan? I don't think so.
Can't imagine you'd let a Chicago fan on the premises.
No, they're fun to beat up on just because they're so delusional. But I will say this. We have another place we like to go to on Sundays and watch the games. Bears fans down here, hands down, are the most annoying. It's not even close. They scream and yell from the standpoint they want everyone to know they're there. And they want everyone to know they're from Chicago. And you get a lot of Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Packer fans who just look at them and like, do you guys understand what doofuses you are? And they have no idea. And I don't think they care. So that's my nickel sense.
Craig, are you surprised to learn? Craig just got here, yes. Are you surprised to learn that once a month Chewy does a bourbon night with the boys?
Yes.
Right?
He's allowed to do that?
Well, for an hour. Oh, 1 hour.
A bourbon hour with the boys.
It literally is 5 to 6. And then the women can come.
Yeah. Okay.
And by the way, the women definitely decided that, by the way. Yeah. Like, you get 1 hour.
That seems on brand. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm not surprised now that I've learned about
it. But bourbon, that's a little surprising. Our guy's more of a white wine kind of
fella. Yeah. He's, you're saying he's got a little hair on his chest? You know, there you go. Well,
that's good, though.
Well. Yeah.
A little more, maybe a little
Chewy's
more.
He's always had that picture chest.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I had one done here. Hold on.
Wait, you had a glamour shot? Really, you went to JCPenney's? You went to JCPenney's down there?
He's reaching for it.
So for that one, I had this one made.
Just so you know, you're definitely not allowed to show that that photograph on the YouTube stream.
Chewy. Wait.
If you're not allowed to tell the suit story, which we learned earlier this morning, Chewie's not allowed to tell the suit story.
Yeah.
You're definitely not allowed to show that picture.
She's the one that got it for me.
But did she know that you were going to show it on the YouTube stream of Jen, Gabe, and Chewie?
That's fine.
I'd like to distance myself from anything that just took place.
Wait, you saw it also?
Yes, I did.
Oh, it's right here. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You didn't see it because you're over there. You didn't see it.
Is he dressed as a sailor?
I'm not going to describe what it was. Joshy, you're not going to describe what it was. So there are people feverishly on the YouTube.
Wait, but aren't still... people, if you could see it, aren't people going to be able to see it on the YouTube?
100%.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But this is still mostly an audio.
Yeah, but it was very quick.
Somebody has to describe what happened. It's either you or Josh because you're the one who saw it.
Not if Jen thinks it's inappropriate, she should describe it.
I think
that's why
you're on YouTube.
I don't think it's inappropriate. I think she knows how much Chewie's wife hates that we have this one picture of him shirtless. I think she's aware
that's not it at all. Okay, I am aware that Angie doesn't like us having this picture. That's funny. But Chewie just showed a picture of his wife that he had commissioned, I think.
Oh,
if I'm following correctly.
It's a picture of her, not of him.
Yeah. Right, Chew?
What's wrong with that? I think it's great.
Huh? I think we all think it's great. I think know the only thing that matters is what Angie thinks.
Yeah. And we're going to find out.
Yeah. 1,000,000% we are. Craig is joining us in studio now. All right, Craig, enormous game this weekend. Packers-Bears. We've been talking about the conversations that have been taking place. Were you surprised?
Wait. First, real quick. Yeah. I know I'm at pass interference.
No.
No.
So, was there pass interference? Yes, there was pass interference. And I don't like that the rules are different for the last play of the game versus every other play. If every play matters and gets you to that point, I don't think you can call it differently. But Bill LaMagne said 99% of the time you have to be dragging a guy to the ground, basically, I'm paraphrasing, in order to get a pass interference call on a Hail Mary.
It's just not fair, though. Chewie, why are you saying no, especially as a receiver, especially as a big guy who would be down there? Why, on the last play, should they be able to just like grab you the whole time if they can't the rest of the game?
You know why I don't, Craig? Because of basketball. I don't want a basketball at the end of the game to be determined by foul shots. And I go back, I think it was Auburn. Craig, you remember the Auburn game where they called that one late, like last seconds of the game in the Final Four? Do you remember?
The Auburn. It was Auburn against Virginia, and they called They called the foul on the three-point shot in the corner at the end of the game, and Virginia went to the championship, and Auburn didn't because of it.
But the call, Craig, was the defender not giving him space to come down after the shot. It wasn't even a hit on the arm, I believe, right? That's just weak to me, not to determine the outcome, especially of the Final Four.
But I don't – like, we've seen so many last-second amazing catches, and these days receivers make catches that we've never seen before. The idea, and it's not like a spot penalty like the NFL, so it's not like you'd even bring him to the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how that's not 15 yards there. Like, everyone sees it, and the ref's right there. It does, and then the ESPN refs, you know, back it up. I don't understand.
Because, again, in any other play in the game, you're going somewhere else. If a guy's blanketed like that, you're going to throw it to a different receiver. Like, in this, you're just desperate, and you're just heaving it down there, hoping for a penalty.
But you don't think it was a penalty?
No, I mean, was it? Yeah, but I think we've all kind of agreed that in football, on the Hail Mary, unless you get tackled, that's basically how Hail Marys work.
That's dumb. That's one of those. There's a lot of things we all agreed on that have changed. Like, oh, we all agree on fourth down, you punt. Right? And then at some point, gym teachers aren't, and no offense to gym teachers, aren't the only ones coaching, and there's more analytics and more things involved. At some point, referees get involved, and like there should be more intelligence with this.
Let me ask you a question. If Ole Miss had another shot at it, do you think they score and go on to win?
Yes.
No.
Do you see how quickly they moved down and how good that quarterback is?
I know, but they had one
Shambles
play.
Shambles had been so good in the game. Throws was on the money.
It'd have been one play from the 30, and he'd have to get to the end zone.
Yeah. No, they'd be at the 18. They were at the 35 on that play, right?
Still, it doesn't matter. It's still going to be a really – it's not like you can run your normal play. They're going to have five guys standing in the end zone to kind of knock anything down out of the air. It's basically
pass interfered again, probably.
It's just a Hail Mary from the 18.
I'm not saying they would have or would have. Who knows? But they deserved another play. That's my point.
What do you think of the targeting, Craig?
Which one?
The one where the Miami player got ejected for half of the next game or whatever it is.
So the one in the second half of the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I
just dislike targeting, generally speaking.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because too often the target changes.
Yeah, I've never played, Chewy, so I can't, like, yeah, I'm Jen, like, when you're saying that, I don't know, because, like, there's times where I feel like there's intent. I don't think there's intent. And that's why, for me, it's so hard to know, like, what is controllable when you're playing football at that speed. And I have no idea. That's why I'm pausing to the level I am.
I just think about a moving train, right? How long does it take a moving train to stop?
Yeah.
You know, a bit. So it's expecting these players to be able to change.
And by the way, I'm not trying to take away from Packers Bears. It was just so fun because I feel like all those games always suck. And last night's was so good. For some reason, the CFP, there have been so many blowouts in those games. So it was just so cool to have a big game. All right, but back to Packers-Bears.
Well, hold on. Before we move on, because I was talking to the guys about tonight's game, Indiana-Oregon, I think this has the chance to be a knockdown, drag-out, absolute, you know, another fantastic game. You've got two of the best quarterbacks in college football going head-to-head. They're going to be wanting to put on a show.
I would have said that, too, but I couldn't believe what they did to Alabama. What Indiana did.
Like, yeah, I know.
So, and Oregon's better, way better, right?
You're talking about defense now.
I'm talking about blowing them out of the building. I'm saying, like, I think, like, are we still underrating Indiana because the name's on their jersey? And are they actually better? Like, are they a touchdown better than Oregon and not 3.5 points better?
Maybe, but Dante Moore's really good, too.
Yeah.
So is Ty Simpson.
Yeah.
Who's going to the NFL draft?
You think it's going to be a blowout?
No, no. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I want it to be another good game, but, like, I thought Indiana and Alabama was going to be a good game, and it was not. So that's why I just don't know. Have you watched Indiana?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Like, do you think they're legit?
I
think they're
legit,
but I'm almost leaning Oregon here just because they got embarrassed at home. They got beaten pretty bad. I don't think the gap is that big. I think Indiana's bigger, but I don't think the gap is huge. I'm almost leaning. I think it's going to be a great game, and I'm almost leaning Oregon.
I think weather was also a factor the last time these two teams played. It certainly will not be a factor indoors at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The other thing I will say is this. I love the conversations that these coaches have been having in the media this week, right? It's compliment city. Nobody is giving an ounce of bulletin board material, because you know what? Dan Lanning will take even a peck, even a scrap, even a morsel of a comment, and will turn it into a full-blown raging forest fire.
Jen, you're around them all, and Chewy, are these the two best NFL potential coaches in college? Like, if you were saying, like, guys who culturally have proven they can build a program in a cultural way that could translate. I know it's very rare that it translates from college to the NFL, but could these be the two best that are playing against each other? No?
No.
Who you got? Or do you think nobody can?
I don't think nobody can. If Nick Saban can't, nobody can.
Yeah.
Like, if you hire one of these guys, you're an NFL team, you're going to be disappointed.
And you're saying Jim Harbaugh doesn't count.
Doesn't count because he was in the NFL first.
Yep.
Same thing with...
Well, he was at Stanford first.
But he was an NFL guy, so he got the NFL more. He spent time in the NFL. Same thing with Pete Carroll. Right? Pete Carroll was in the NFL, went to college, came back, and had success.
I also think, having covered both leagues, culture doesn't matter as much at the NFL level as it does in college. 100%.
You don't 100%. Think Ben Johnson thinks culture matters?
I'm sure that Ben Johnson does think culture matters, but I'm saying it doesn't matter as much.
Yeah.
Like, the biggest thing about college is you're taking 17, 18, 19. I don't have time to get all the way up to 26, but now at this point with COVID rules,
really
you got people
now.
Playing, you know, up to that. But, like,
there's some college teams older than the Packers.
Basically molding that clay. Right? When you get to the league, you're almost fully baked. Are you going to get better? Of course. Is there progress to be made? Yes. But from a what type of player are you going to be? What's your work ethic? What's your buy-in like?
Chewy played for Tom Coughlin, right? Chewy, wouldn't you have said Coughlin's the ultimate college guy who couldn't translate to the NFL?
And then he won Super Bowls, but he did because
he pivoted. He went, you know, Willie Joe Hard guy, and then he softened it up. You know, Cignetti's kind of that same guy. Like, his shtick now at Indiana would not work in the NFL.
No.
No one's going to listen to him.
Well, because his thing is, I don't let up. If we're up 53-3 in the fourth quarter, I'm still mad about
Is that kind of Dan Campbell-ish? And that's worked. I mean, I know he didn't win a Super Bowl,
Dan
but Dan Campbell,
smiles a lot more than Kurt Cignetti does.
Yeah, he transformed a culture. No?
Yeah, but I don't think he transformed the culture the way that Cignetti did. I think, again, it's just so different. And we NFL teams are starting to realize it's significantly different, and you're just wasting your time dipping into the college pool.
Wow. So you think that's a, you don't think it's football. You think it's like a totally different game, totally different, yeah. Like what works one place doesn't work the other.
Uh-huh. Because otherwise, why wouldn't Nick Saban be overwhelmingly successful in the NFL?
Yeah, in college, you're dealing with six egos. In the NFL, you're dinging with 53.
Yeah. My argument on Saban would be maybe he would have been if he had stuck with it and had the time to truly build a program.
Yeah.
Maybe. Right? Like, which he never did.
Yeah.
We got to take a break. Craig, stick around. Want to get your take on this weekend as well. And no, Joshy is violently shaking his head. No,
we're out of time. I think
the show is over.
It's kind of
saying goodbye, Joshy.
Joshy time.
Your state, your teams.